Yeah, and he is, indeed, as I heard Sister Lashonda say, God's got it. God does have it. The battle is the Lord. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is a mighty warrior. He's a mighty bulwark. He's a very present help in a time of danger, a very present help in a time of trouble. It is good to know that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And guess what? He is undefeated. He's undefeated. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a patient. He's never lost a case. He's never lost a soul. He is undefeated. He's undefeated. So if you are tracking with him, if you are serving him, if he is your God, if he is your Lord and Savior, you already had a victory through Christ. You already had a victory through him. The tomb is empty. He is our risen Savior. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? So it's good to know that we are victorious in Christ. Make sure you're in Christ and you have the victory. You have the victory. Dear Lord, we do thank you that indeed we do have a victory through Christ. We do thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We do thank you that we can do all things through Christ. We thank you that we have been, the penalty of sin has been paid for. We thank you that we no longer have to be under the power of sin. And we thank you that one day we will be forever away from the presence of sin, because of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross and because of the empty tomb. Thank you for our sinless Savior, the Lamb of God, who was slain even before the foundation of the world. Thank you for Jesus, who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Thank you for Jesus, who said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you helpless, but I'll send you another helper, another of the exact same kind." And he sent the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, dear God, that we do live and move by and have our power by your being, dear God. We thank you for even blessing us with another worship opportunity, corporate worship opportunity time. And I pray now, dear God, as it was prayed earlier, that your word will fall on good soil. Some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That we would all leave here today bearing much fruit. Abiding in and with Christ, being salt and light to an evil world. We thank you that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we pray, dear God, that we will walk out our Christian walk in such a way that will make all people seek and say, why do you look at things differently? And we say, well, it's the Lord, it's his Jesus, it's his word, it's his spirit. So speak now, dear God. Speak to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and take your Bibles, or also it's in your bulletin, but take your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to camp out here for the next few weeks in Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at the full armor, the whole armor of God. Philippians chapter 6. And today we're going to look at verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit as he writes this letter to the church at Ephesus and to the church here at Love Fellowship this morning, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In the first part of verse 14 even says, stand therefore. And that's my topic this morning. That's my title this morning. Keep standing for Jesus. Keep standing for Jesus. You may be seated. Keep standing for Jesus. A subtopic, or really the title of the series, is, could say, dressed by God. But keep standing for Jesus. In case you haven't noticed, there is a war going on. I mean, there are a plethora of human ills. I mean, things like gay marriages being legalized. Things like terrorism. And, you know, you've seen even just this past week, the incident that happened in Minnesota, the incident that happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the incident that happened in Dallas. Even yesterday, I was looking at some of the different news channels and getting different perspectives on all of that. We know there's a war going on. You just look at the city of Chicago on a regular day. I mean, all kind of shootings and killings. You can look at little old Chattanooga. And this is just one area. And even as Minister Turner was kind of sharing earlier, we as Christians, you know, it's kind of like when Gideon was getting ready to go to battle and this angel came and Gideon went up to the angel and said, whose side are you on our side or on their side? And the angel said, we're on the Lord's side. So as you and I, especially as African Americans, we're on the Lord's side. But there's a lot of things going on, not just that type of stuff, but things like conflicts on your job, things like conflict in your neighborhood, perhaps, or conflicts in your family, or perhaps conflicts even in the church. When you look at all this unrest, when you look at all this chaos, when you look at all these things going on that we can see with our human eyes, you have to be, beloved, you and I got to be wise and even kind of look behind the scenes. Kind of had to gaze into the spiritual realm. Yes, there's much going on for us, the sinfulness of man. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, we live in a fallen world. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. The prophet Jeremiah said the human heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. But yet, even beyond the wickedness of the human heart, even past that, there are some things going on once again in the spiritual realm. We just read it earlier. We do not fight against flesh and blood. Behind the things that we see, behind the things that you see and I see, the shootings, the killings, the inequities, the chaos, the confusion, the fussing, and the fighting, behind all of those things is a character by the name of the devil. Satan. And his primary job description, we'll see it in John 10. Jesus called him out in John 10:10. We refer to him as a thief. His primary job description is killing, stealing, and destroying. So whenever you have killing, stealing, and destroying, you can look at what's happening on the surface. Yeah, that's one level. But behind that, you better believe you mean that it's the devil who's behind it. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's known as the God, the little G-O-D, the God of this world. And to stand for Jesus, for you and I to stand for holiness in an unholy world, to stand for the Lord, to stand against the devil's schemes, you and I have to be properly dressed. We have to have on a proper attire. And I'm not talking about your Armani suit or your nice dress or shoes. We have to be dressed by God. Now, we won't get to our victorious wardrobe this morning, but it is coming soon to a pulpit near you. As I start once again this series out of Ephesians 6, calling it Dressed by God, subtitle Spiritual Warfare. This wonderful epistle to the church at Ephesus, to the church here at Love Fellowship, starts out in chapter 1, letting us know that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, I thought I'd get a few more amens right there. We were chosen, not because we're so great, we so this or that, but we have been chosen by God. Ephesians 1:4, we have been chosen by God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 lets us know that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Let me say it again. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But Ephesians 2 said, but God, oh, I love that. But God, being rich in mercy, by faith we have been saved. Verse 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 says that salvation is a free gift from God. We've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:10 does tell us, though, okay, after salvation, God has prepared some works beforehand that you might walk in them. Ephesians chapter 4 even says we need to walk worthy of this holy calling to keep the unity of the Spirit, capital S, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then even in chapter 5 of Ephesians, it gives us a perfect blueprint for marriage. Tells us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Tells our wives to be submissive to your husband. It gives us a blueprint for marriage. And then even in Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles open, even in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, young or old, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Then it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up. Bring your child, your daughter, your son up in the training or the fear and admonition of the Lord. In verses 5-9 tells the servant how to respond to their master, which today we can say the employer and the employee relationship. So this book of Ephesians tells us how to live horizontally and vertically. And then he gets to verse 10 and he says, finally, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our strength to overcome the evil one, strength to and for the Lord, strength to live holy, strength to go against this world scheme, which is against God's plan, strength to even overcome our own flesh. Our strength comes from the Lord. We are powerful in him. That's why many Christians are weak and impotent, is because we don't go to him to get our strength. We don't go to him to get our power. Too often you and I are guilty of trying to live this Christian life in our own power and strength. It won't work. It won't work. Now, there are many verses in throughout the scripture that give us similar admonishment. You all know some of these, such as the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Do I have any Bible readers? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, let me help. Yeah, y'all not getting this too good. We're going to put these two on the screen. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. Because our strength comes from the Lord. Exodus chapter 15 says, the Lord is my strength and song. Let me say that again. The Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. He is. I'm talking to the Christian now. He is my God. And I will praise him. Yes, I will praise him. My Father's God. And I will exalt him. Exodus 15:13 says, referring to God, says, you God, in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. You ought to be glad today if you are the redeemed of God. And if you're not, today is the day of salvation. God in his mercy has led forth the people who he has redeemed. You, dear God, have guided them in who? In your strength to your holy habitation. Our strength is in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, God is God is my strength and power. It's throughout scripture. There's nothing new this morning. I think we just don't apply it or really live it out. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. God gave strength to Samson. Our God gave strength and courage to Moses and Joshua. He gave strength to Ezra and Nehemiah. Our Lord gave strength to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Our Heavenly Father gave strength to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Hosea, Zechariah, Esther, Ruth, and Nahum, and on and on and on. Our God gave all of them strength. It wasn't something so special about them. They had a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God. In the New Testament, our God gave strength to Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples. He gave them strength. Our God gave Paul and Barnabas strength. Our God gave Paul and Silas strength. Our God gave Timothy and Jude strength. As a matter of fact, I could just go on and on and on. Matter of fact, if I took this microphone and went around the sanctuary this morning, every one of us in here would say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? God is our strength. God is our refuge. God is the reason we are here this morning. Jesus is the one reason we are here this morning. Every victory we have, we can't really take credit for it. Every victory we have, Jesus signed off on it. God signed off on it. The Holy Spirit signed off on it. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would I be? Where would you be? If it had not been for Jesus, if it had not been for God. Grandmama used to say it this way, he brought us through many dangers, toils and snares. Brought us through many dangers, seen and unseen. See, grandmama knew about the spiritual realm. She said, he brought us through dangers, seen and unseen. He brought us through some stuff I didn't even see. Didn't even know that was out there. God still has the power and strength to bring us through. So as you stand for Jesus, you got to stand in the power of his might. Stand in the power of his strength. And check this out. We have to do it daily. We need to remember from where our help comes. The psalmist said, I look to the hills, from which cometh my help, from which cometh my strength, all of my strength, all of my help. I'm not confused. All of my help, the psalmist said, comes from the Lord. Part of man, part of the heart of man, mankind, we like to take a little credit, a little extra credit for ourselves. No. Just like with salvation, it's 100% God. You just thankful. You just blessed to be a recipient of God's grace and mercy. If it was left up to me or you, we would have messed it up. So you and I got to come to him daily. Seek him daily. Seek him for those peas. Seek him for his power. Seek him for his provision. Seek him for his protection. Seek him for his presence. Seek him daily. We have to take Jesus up at his invitation. When Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give them rest. So you and I got to yoke up with Jesus daily. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Keep standing for Jesus. We all know. I think all of us are good with our doctrine of salvation, our soteriology, as the theologians call it. How did you get saved? I think we all should be, if you've been here any number of days or weeks or years, you ought to be solid on that from where this even church was started. And since I've been here and preaching, our salvation, I read it earlier out of Ephesians 2. Our salvation, we know it was the Lord and the Lord himself who drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We know it was the Lord himself who convicted us of sin and our lack of joy and our lack of peace. And we knew that something was missing in our lives. We knew that we had a void. We had a void that only one person could meet, and it was the Lord himself. It was the Lord who drew us out of darkness. It was God who pulled you up out of that club. It was God who pulled you up out of that ditch. It was God who pulled you up out of that relationship you shouldn't have been in. It was God who pulled you up out of that liquor house. It was God who pulled you up out of that crack house. It was God who pulled you up out of that prideful street that you were on. Whatever your thing was, it was God who saved us. We know that. It was God who saved us. It was God who called us to be born again. It was God who regenerated us. It was God who quickened us from above. We know salvation is all of God. We straight on that, right? Why is it then, once we get on this side of salvation, once we get on this side of the cross and get saved and get born again, and we want to go on and then kind of say, Lord, I kind of got it. Now I'm going to handle it on my own. Or maybe you can come and help me every now and then. No, beloved, just like we need the Lord for salvation, we also need the Lord for sanctification. Oh, I need to repeat that. Rewind, back it up. Just like we need him for salvation, you and I, we also need him for sanctification. We need him for holy living. You can run out of here if you want to and say, I'm going to live holy for the Lord. Well, you better make sure you're with the Lord. You better make sure you're in the Word. You better make sure you're on your knees. You better make sure you're walking with Jesus Christ. We need him for, just like we need him for salvation, getting born again, we also need him for sanctification, for holy living, for living righteously. You can't live right on your own. You can't live right on your own. The Bible says, our righteousness is but as filthy rags before the Lord. Ask the Pharisees, ask them. They knew a lot of the scriptures. But Jesus called them like whitewashed tombs, and Jesus had some names for them. He said, y'all flatter me with your words, but your hearts are far from me. That's a good group of people who try to live holy on their own. Try to just go just by the law and say, Lord, I don't really need you. No, we need the Spirit and his Word. We need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I said, we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So we need him for holy living. We need him for wisdom. We need him for guidance and deliverance. You need him for power and strength. We need him to help us to stand. Here's a good prayer. I know y'all praying for 40 days. I know y'all been praying 40 days, 40 days. Here's a good prayer. Lord, I need your power and your strength today so that I can stand for Jesus. So I can stand for holiness and righteousness. I need you today. Verse 10 again says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or against the schemes of the devil. Now, even just a casual reading of that kind of hints that if you don't put on the full armor of God, you won't be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So you and I got to make sure we are properly dressed. You and I got to make sure that you gird up your waist with truth. You got to make sure that you put on a breastplate of righteousness. You got to make sure that you have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to make sure that you take up the shield of faith that you might can put out the fiery darts of the enemy. You got to make sure that you take up the helmet of salvation. I'm just in the text. I'm just reading the full armor of God. I just got to make sure you put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and also that you might pray without ceasing. You and I got to be properly dressed every day. And like I said, as I go through this series, we're going to unpack these in the next few weeks. This armor that you and I need if you're going to live victoriously in this Christian walk. Verse 11 once again says, put on the full armor of God. So why do you need this armor? Well, we need it so that we can stand for Jesus. We need it that we can be ministers of reconciliation. We need it that we might spread the good news and go and make disciples of all the nations. We need it that we might be able to overcome the schemes of the devil. Without the full armor of God, you and I would be defeated every time. For those of you who played certain sports, like I played football in high school and in junior high, and you know, I mean, a person would have been a fool. And I don't use that word loosely. A person would have been a fool to go out there on a football field, Brother Steve, without a helmet or some shoulder pads or something. If you want to see a fool, see somebody try to play football without the proper weaponry. Well, so it is with you and me, Christian friend. If we go out here in this spiritual warfare that we're in without the proper armor on, that's a foolish thing to do. That's going to lead right down to defeat and discouragement right away. So verse 11, once again, lets us know that if we don't have on the full armor of God, we're apt to be easily, keyword, easily defeated. Because the devil, you know, you all know, in a lot of my preaching, I don't even talk about the devil a whole lot. But we do have three enemies. One is this world system. One is our own flesh. I think that's our greatest enemy still, our own flesh. The devil can't make us. I don't want to give him too much credit, too much power. He can't make us do anything. That's good theology right there. Let me say that again. The devil can't make us do anything. I'm in the Bible. He has to look at Job 1, Job 2. Look at it in the New Testament with Peter. The devil has to go to God to get permission to mess with the child of God. I mean, the devil is, I think it was Martin Luther who said, the devil is God's little devil. So we don't want to give him too much credit, but also we don't want to ignore him either, though. So there are several things that the devil does right out of the scriptures. I want to write these down if you're taking notes. The devil, every single day, he tries to oppose God's work. Believe you, if you're trying to do something for the Lord, now if you're just hanging out on the sideline and just kind of watching the life go by and not doing too much, you might be all right. But if you're trying to do something for the Lord, even if you're just trying to live for the Lord, if you're just trying to do something for the Lord, you better believe me, the enemy will oppose what you're trying to do. Can I get a witness right there? We trick people almost sometimes. People think when they come to Christ and get saved, get born again, everything gonna be perfect. No, when you come to the Lord, that's when stuff really gonna pop off, as a young kid say. But at least you have some armor. At least you have some help. At least you have somebody that can see you through. So he opposes God's work. Also, this is another thing that a tricky dude does. He perverts God's word. Matthew 4:6 shows us that he perverts. That's why he tempted Jesus. He perverts God's word. See, that's why I often tell you all, beloved, be like the Bereans. Check the scriptures. Just because the guy get behind the pulpit and got a little suit on or something, got his Bible in his hand, that didn't necessarily mean he was called by God. I mean, the devil got his little preachers out there too. I love preachers. I love pastors, but the devil got his little minions out there too. People distort and corrupt and pervert the scriptures. So that's what I'm thinking that the devil does. He did that in Genesis 3. Have God truly said? When he shows up on the scene in Genesis 3, he comes up messing with God's word. Another thing he does, he hinders God's servant. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he hinders God's servant. He hinders, or at least seeks to hinder God's servant. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Also, he hinders the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about how the God is where blinded folks. That's why a lot of times when you talk to your unsaved friends or people in other religions, you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the Muslims or whomever, and you talking to them about the gospel, it's like they looking at you like a deer in the headlights. Like, what are you talking about? Well, duh, the God is where has blinded them. You and I were blinded. But oh, the grace and mercy of God. The grace and mercy of God. Just like what Paul calls the scales to fall from our eyes. We were blinded. So that's one thing that the enemy does. He hinders the gospel. He blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. He also snares the righteous. That's in 1 Timothy 3:7. He snares or sets traps for the righteous. In 1 Timothy 3:7. Also, another thing, he holds the world, the unsaved people, the pagans, he holds the world in his power. That's 1 John 5:19. He has a grip hold. He has a headlock on the world. You don't want to let him go. Think about it. When you were in the world, he had you too. He had all of us at one point in time, if you will. So yeah, you need the full armor of God to deal with this character called the devil. You and I need this full armor. We need the whole armor of God. So verse 12 even tells us, I hasten on, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember I was saying it in my introduction. We see a lot of stuff going on, a lot of ills, a lot of crazy, horrific type things going on in the U.S. right now. But we don't fight solely against flesh and blood. And let me say this too, kind of sidestep. There are certain things as a Christian we need to pray about, and certain things we may need to get involved with. You know, we definitely need to vote. We need to do those types of things. Perhaps our voices do need to be heard. So you know, the BLM marches, you know, Black Lives Matter. I mean, those types of things need to happen. Like even all the way back to the 60s and 70s, things were done. So I'm not saying we don't do any of those things, but I am saying our main way for victory in our own lives and even as a people and even as a country and even as a world, our main way to victory is through Jesus Christ. Our main way to victory is through spiritual weaponry, not carnal weapons. Praying, taking people and issues before the Lord, operating in a biblical manner. That's the way the Christian should respond. I said, that's the way the Christian should respond. I'm black as the next person. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. I was back with James Brown and all them. I even tried to grow an afro back in the day, but it wouldn't grow. But when I look at different issues, I am challenged by the Holy Spirit of God to respond biblically first. Oh, y'all not hearing me this morning. Oh, open that door, Steve. I'm going to have to jet out in just a second. I am, even though the flesh, yeah, I'm black. So, yeah, when you see a lot of this stuff going on, you say, man, that's wrong, wrong, wrong. But first, I got to respond biblically. Say, okay, God, what is the biblical response? And, we know God is for right justice and all those things. So we can take that before God. So God, we know there's some inequities in the court system. We know there's some inequities, as a lot of times law is administered. We know there are some inequities, and not even just about a color thing. A lot of times it's about those who have not, what it'll speak, the haves and the have not. So Lord, we bring all this before you. And Lord, let me be a change agent. Let me respond biblically to all of this situation. Because the bottom line, if a lot of this stuff gets straightened out, if people still don't know Jesus, when they die, they're still going to hell. I mean, we can be well educated, well fed, got a good job, got a good house, got a great car, got a great 401k, got all that going on, and still bust hell out of them. So we got to keep the main thing. And yeah, all that other stuff comes in, but keep the main thing as the people of God as the main thing. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Listen to the word of God. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we're given different a hierarchy, if you will, different rankings of different demonic and satanic forces. The Word of God talks about principalities. Another translation said authorities. That's one level. Then it talks about powers. Then it mentions the rulers of darkness. The rulers of darkness. We are the people of light. We walk in light. We don't really know anything much about the rulers of darkness. We walk in light. Jesus, he said, I am the light of the world. But we are wrestling against rulers of darkness. And then the next thing it mentions in that verse, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You don't walk out of here and look up and say, oh, I see some spiritual hosts in the heavenly places. No, you don't see all that. As a matter of fact, probably if God would just peel back and let us just peer into the spiritual realm, it'd probably scare us to death. Y'all remember in Daniel that time, right? When Daniel was praying and the prayer didn't come through, and Daniel was praying. And about 3 weeks later, I believe it was, this angel showed up. And Daniel basically said, man, I've been praying. The angel said, hey, as soon as you prayed, we heard your prayer and I was dispatched. But I've been tied up with some other stuff going on. I had another demonic stuff I had to deal with. I had some other stuff I was dealing with first before I got to you, Daniel. Some stuff you don't even see. Yeah, we heard you. God dispatched me, but I had a little trouble getting here. Because I'm dealing with some other stuff over here. So I'm just saying, as Christians, now I don't want her to be running around looking for a demon or looking for something like that behind every little rock. I'm not saying that. I want to teach it in balance. But I'm saying we live in a spiritual world. I'm saying when we leave here, people are going to heaven or to hell. I'm saying the devil, the text says it better than me, he is our enemy. He has schemes. He has tricks. He has traps for you and for me. And if we're not properly suited, if we don't have the right mindset, he'll take us out every time. He'll just be snapping, pew, pew, shooting us down every time. See, brother, that's why you and I got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So all these different levels, all these the rules of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, our enemy, the devil, he has a highly organized and strategic army. But watch this. But he's still no match for our God. I said he's still no match for our Jesus. He loses every time. I mean, look when he came at Christ in Matthew 4, right after Christ had been baptized. And the Bible said the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil came at him four different times. I got some Bible readers in the house, right? Came at him four different times. What did Jesus do? Every time. Jesus, who is the Word, Jesus, who is God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus himself, just put the Word on him every time. Say, it is written. It is written. It is written. And then the Bible said the devil left them for a season. See, beloved, that's why you and I lose it sometimes. When the devil comes against us, I'm going to say, we give him our logic, our reasoning. Oh, yeah, I believe, I think. No, you just need to say, it is written. You need to say, it is written. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. It is written. Your time is short. It is written. I'm hanging with Jesus. So if you're going to get to me, you got to get through him first. So we got to get some "it is written" in us. So you and I got to make sure that God is dressing us, that we are dressed properly for this warfare that we're in. See, if you try to defeat the devil on your own, you are me. I don't care how spiritual, I don't care how holy you are, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you say, "Well, I got this Christian walk, I got this thing down, brothers and sisters, I got it down. I got it. Now, I don't care how bad you are in the Lord, in the sin, how bad you are, period, not in the Lord, but how bad you are, you're going to lose every time. If you try to do that, it would be similar to like, as a little kid, we used to like to play with little, you know, water guns. It would be like taking a little water gun, a little toy water gun, and going out and trying to put out a massive forest fire with a little toy water gun. It won't work. It won't work. That's why we need to be finally, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 13, and I'm through. Therefore, take up the whole armor, the full armor of God. Listen, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Keep standing for Jesus. Take up the full armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God. The child of God needs to make sure that he or she is dressed by God. Let me repeat that. The child of God has to make sure that he or she is dressed by God. You gotta make sure that you got on a breastplate of righteousness. You gotta make sure you got a sword of the Spirit. You gotta make sure you put on the helmet of salvation daily. See, if you're dressed by God, you can stand. And verse 13 says that you might be able to stand in the evil day. We don't need a new revelation. We know we're living in some evil days. I mean, we're living in the evil days. Even right now, many people who are in Bible prophecy say that we're living in the last days. That Christ could come back at any moment. I don't know when Christ is coming back, but we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing until he does come back. But he is coming back. So the Lord said, be dressed right, that you might be able to stand in those evil days, and having done all, to stand. And I want to encourage you this morning, as a child of God, as a Christian, you and I, we can stand. I said, we can stand. Because of who we are standing for. And we can stand because of who's standing with us. And then watch this. We can stand because who is standing up inside of us. We can stand because the Lord is our strength. We can stand because we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can stand because Christ said, "I'm going to stand with you." We can stand because when our knees get wobbly, when we're about to fall down, we got the Lord Jesus Christ right there with us. We can stand because of what's inside of us, or who's inside of us. As I close, let me share this. I've shared it before, but it fits in good right here. Talking about we can stand because of who is inside of us. We can stand. When I was growing up, back in southern Arkansas, back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, there was a character, like I said, I've shared this before, but it's been a minute. There was a character by the name of Bozo the Clown. Anybody remember Bozo? Go on and date yourself. You can raise your hand. You're all right. Bozo, he was pre-Barney. I can only name the ones that Ashley and Ariana used to play. Pre-Barney. He was pre-Teletubbies. He was pre-Dora the Explorer. He was before all them cats. Bozo the Clown. Bozo was a man. And you know, Bozo got real popular. So you know how they do. They try to make money. So they merchandise Bozo, and they started making these Bozo the Clown inflatables. They were about 3 or 4 foot tall. And as a little kid, you know, he seemed like he was 10, 12 foot tall. Bozo the Clown had this little silly smile on his face. And what me and my cousins didn't realize back then, I know it now, Sister Keisha, I know now, but I didn't know it back then. Bozo has some stuff inside of him. He has some helium and air inside of him that kept him inflated, right? He also had like a little, some kind of little heavy substance in the bottom, in his foundation, that made sure that he could stand up, right? So he had some stuff inside of him. I didn't know all that. So me and my cousins, and we just used to have fun with Bozo the Clown. We'd be like, "Man, we're going to take Bozo out. We're going to drop kick and we're going to judo chop and we're going to karate chop and we're going to come off the top turnbuckle on him. We're going to put him in a headlock. We're going to make him stay down. I mean, we'd be all on Bozo the Clown. And then me and my cousin get a little tired and get up. And guess what? Bozo will bounce right back up. Oh, y'all don't hear me. We over in the corner, we tired and breathing hard, and we look at Bozo, he's still smiling, still standing, with that silly smile on his face. Why? Why? He had something on the inside of him. No matter what was coming from the outside, no matter karate chops, kicks, judo chops, whatever, Bozo still stood up because he had something on the inside of him. I'm just saying, as a Christian, you and I got somebody inside of us. We got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ inside of us. So although you might get hit, although the devil might trip you up, although you might fall down, you can bounce right back up. Why? Because you got the Spirit of God inside of you. You got the Spirit of Christ inside of you. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You can keep standing up. I'm through. Let me quote one more verse. We can stand because Jesus in Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus has disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over them. Jesus, I gave you the victory back in Colossians chapter 2. I have disarmed them. It's kind of like a bomb has been thrown, but before it ignites, Jesus goes and disarms it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He's still throwing the bomb, but before it goes off, Jesus goes and disarms it. It's like he's taking a bite out of the devil's bark. Yeah, it's still evil in the world. Yes, it's still crime. Yes, it's still shootings. Yes, it's still robbers. Yes, it's still unfairness. Yes, all these things are going on. But watch this. It would be a whole lot worse if not for the restraint of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a lot worse if not for Jesus. It would be a lot worse if he didn't lead the Holy Spirit inside of us. So I leave you with this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58 said, be steadfast. I'm talking about still standing. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. Give him a hand clap of praise. Keep standing for Jesus. Keep standing for the Lord. Keep standing for holiness. Keep standing for what's right. Keep standing for Jesus. And make sure you're properly dressed. Dear Lord, we do thank you for being inside of us in the person of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for telling us to be strong in you, dear Lord, and in the power of your might. So teach us as Christians to continue daily, moment by moment, to come back to you, to go back to you, our strong tower, our help, our fortress, our very present help in a time of trouble. Let us come, not just in the tough times, but even when things are going well. Matter of fact, we need to come even more when things are going well. Help us to continue to surrender daily to you. And say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Guide me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your word. Speak to my heart and mind. Help me to respond biblically to all the things that are going on in my life and in this world. And Father, we will always be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And if there's someone here who does not know you, dear Lord, draw them today. Draw them to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.